Welcome to Outry TV, a video and podcast series bringing you stories from queer people and allies across the globe. I'm Naziha Saeed, the Arabic Media Coordinator, and for today's episode, I'm talking to Ahmed Shahabuddin in Kuwait. Welcome, Ahmed.
Thank you. I'm always happy to be with you, even virtually.
Thank you. Why you are in Kuwait?
Good question. Everyone's asking me. I guess we can blame my intuition. Around March 8th, I was in New York, which is where I was living in Brooklyn, and things started getting postponed, and I was following the news on Twitter, and I just decided to pack a bag and come home. I was worried about my parents. I was worried about the looming disaster that I was expecting in the U.S. that sadly actually seems to have happened, so I'm very grateful to be in Kuwait, if I'm to be honest.
That's good. How do you describe yourself, Ahmed?
Usually I take too many words to describe myself, but to put it succinctly, I am curious by nature, maybe first and foremost. I am a storyteller by nurture, is how I like to put it. At least that's what I tell myself. I'm really passionate about shifting my own perceptions as well as people's perceptions away from the dogma and the division that, unfortunately, as someone who's worked in the media for so long, we tend to focus on too much, that which separates us, instead of connecting around the things that unite us, which I think there's so much more of that. I'm trying less and less to describe myself through attachments to identity. As you know, because you've heard me talk about this before.
Interesting. And whoever wants to hear these talks before, you can find them on the internet, I believe.
Sadly.
Tell us a bit about where you are and what life looks like.
Well, right now I'm in my room living with my dad in Kuwait, and I'm staring at an incredibly beautiful view of Kuwait City. It's a bit weird being here because this is the longest I've spent in Kuwait in a very, very long time. I'm sure you know that it's Ramadan, so life was already slow here in the Arab world. It tends to slow down, at least during the day, during Ramadan, and we had a curfew. And Kuwait was actually one of the first few countries after Italy that did a full lockdown. So it was 2 days after I arrived on March 10th.
Wow.
And then my dad arrived, and because of the rules, as you must know, we had to quarantine together and to protect my mom. So life here is slow. I feel very blessed. If I was in Brooklyn, I would really have to be independent, as we all are when we're living away from home, where we have kind of a community. You know, my mom and my aunt send me food. So on a logistical level, life for me is very good here. Lots of time to spend reflecting, and I'm painfully aware of how much privilege I have, which is both good and bad. But yeah, I'm definitely, you know, seeing this just play out in New York the way it is, and across Europe and many other countries, which for many different reasons, I think people are really scared. And even though there's fear here in Kuwait, generally it seems like because they started early, things are good. So no complaints. And I still get to go outside. We have a curfew from 4 to 8. And it's funny, you know, because it's not funny, but in Dubai, my cousins have a complete lockdown or had a complete lockdown for weeks. And I think we're all struggling to adjust to the lack of autonomy and freedom. And yeah, our instinct is to be resistant, but I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to make use of the time.
I can see that. I saw that you are producing contents on social media about politics, human rights, and some social issues. You also sing, play music, and do comedy TikToks. How about that?
I'm actually on the piano, as you can
wow.
see. Mostly because this is where I feel the most comfort when I'm alone here in my apartment. You just lose yourself in the music. And of course, as you and I spoke briefly before, like there's benefits. Even though my dad is here, he's very much keeps to himself, and he's working. He's quite a workaholic, so he works all day. So I just stay in my room, and this is my work, which my dad doesn't really understand, how a piano and writing and recording videos and acting silly sometimes can be work, let alone something that could seriously have a positive impact on the world. But yeah, I'm exploring, as you said, new forms of telling stories, which is something I've always done in a very specific way. And yeah, telling other people's stories through journalism, as you know, and making documentaries, and now trying to explore my own story on the keyboard, amongst other things. I don't know, I think this is a moment where we're all, many of us in different ways, are revisiting parts of ourselves that took a back seat during the normal day-to-day life. Not all of us have the privilege and the luxury to really have that time. And so because I do, I just think it's important to be aware and take advantage of it, you know, seize the moment.
Yeah, we are looking forward to see the production of this period. We are seeing some on social media, but we can't wait to see.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that, because part of this journey for me, and I think for so many people, is learning how to detach from like outcomes and expectations, which is almost virtually impossible. We all feel like when we do something, there has to be a finished product. And you and I were also speaking last time, and I told you about a podcast I had started working on and then I had dropped. And this is a moment, I think, for us to be okay with things slowing down. And it's a reminder to ourselves that maybe sometimes the journey is as important as the finished product or the destination. I don't know, maybe that's just an excuse to be lazy and not disciplined. But for me, I'm choosing to tell myself this. You know, it's a time to be compassionate, like Ramadan. Compassion with others.
It's also very legitimate to be slow and unfinish work. But it's just... Yeah. It's also sometimes a period, and it's generating your energy again to start again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm learning how to do that. I'm an impatient person, so this is all new to me, and somehow very well. You know, this is a crisis, obviously, but it's also an invitation to reflect before doing. Even for me, like I always talk. But this is a time to maybe reflect a bit more. But some of those things that you were referring to that I share are almost just like my wanting to connect through, you know, storytelling and emotions.
So is there an existing project that you are working on?
You sound like my dad. There should be, and there are many, but no. You know, I was supposed to go to Stanford in the fall. I got accepted partially without the final interview to a fellowship that would tackle like challenges in journalism, and part of that project was a very formal professional project, thank you, in an academic setting. And I was so looking forward to being back in California because I was born there, and a slower pace of life. And you know, in March I was supposed to have my interview, and then when that fell through and of course started getting postponed and then got canceled, I guess like the podcast attached to that project, which I had been working on for months as part of the application, is still happening, but now it's happening in a less pressured and specific sense. So I'm just really exploring. I've recorded a few conversations, and now that I was trying to edit and I wanted to have some music interlude. And then I thought, well, I could just download some music, or I have all this time on my hands and I have, you know, I'm fortunate to have a keyboard. So why not make a little cheesy like song introduction? So I did.
Why not?
So we'll see. I don't know. Is the project a podcast project? Is it a music project? It's conversations that I'm having with myself and with other people. And I haven't published anything because, as I told you, I'm trying to learn from taking time to kind of take stock of shifts that were already starting to happen and really ride this shift properly.
Yeah, but maybe you have the time now to do it really properly, having new ideas in it. Why not?
Yeah, and you're right. There is an element of a lack of discipline, which I think a lot of us are struggling with, even those of us who have like actual jobs, but we're working from home. Like I think, you know, I left my job like 6 months ago. And it's just funny to find myself, I thought it would just be 6 months and then I was going to start applying. And now the whole world is kind of on a sabbatical, which is what I've done. So really trying to, as you said, not be too hard on myself, but also not give myself too much time and comfort. But we'll see. I think it's important right now to focus and prioritize comfort as much as we can.
Wellness is very important.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. What inspires you, Ahmed?
What inspires me? I am inspired. That's a good question.
What are you looking at outside? Maybe that's,
you know, hey, great point. Maybe I can share with you. You know what inspires me, actually?
Wow.
I know, I'm very, very, as I told you, it's definitely not the view of my backyard in Brooklyn. of the trash cans. No, I'm kidding. But nature inspires me. And people who, in this moment, what's inspiring me, people who have authentically been connecting with nature or inspiring us to connect to nature. And the reason I say that is because obviously that's very difficult given the fact that so many of us are at home. But, you know, there's so many different ways to connect with nature through sound and through different forms of expression and being inspired by, you know, I think the power of like nature now is stronger than ever. I don't know. Are you noticing in Berlin? You're in Berlin. So are there birds? Are the birds just more loud in Berlin than they used to be? Or is that our perception that they're louder?
Because there is less cars and it's a spring now. So yeah, we hear them more definitely. And we also like, we just ended winter. So we open the windows more often. So also maybe they were there already, but we couldn't hear them because the windows are closed. So it's all together, I think.
Yeah, and I think everyone all over the world is noticing it to varying degrees. So for me, nature inspires me. And then I think people who in this moment also are kind of like challenging conventional norms. And I use the word norm on purpose because so much of the instinctive, almost conditioned reaction to having so much freedom taken away and having to change everything and living in fear. I think so many of us are familiar and have a history of living in fear from judgment or fear from this or that. And so much of that is part of the old world. I'd like to call it an old world, hoping that the world might shift, which is quite naive. Yeah. But on the flip side, the people who are inspiring me are the people who seem not so eager and not so quick and willing to just go back into this idea of when can things go back to normal? Because I know it sounds like, okay, you're saying this with a lot of privilege. No, but I'm suffering. We are all suffering to different degrees, right? Yeah. But it's hard to quantify suffering. Just even being away from my friends and my sister, knowing my sister has asthma and she's in New York City, which is one of the worst epicenters, and my niece is there, and being away from my dog and not having a job and having to pay my rent and not being able to be there. Those are first world problems, but they're real problems and they're things that I'm dealing with. And so I think people who in this moment can be vulnerable and kind of surrender to the lack of control and the uncertainty inspire me. Just people who can do that by the way they're living. Because I'm not doing that all the time.
Interesting. In this time of social isolation, lots of creative ways of engaging with the friends and loved ones and even neighbors are popping up on social media and geographically. Do you have a favorite activity for staying connected while being isolated?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question because I think that too is shifting. Like the first few weeks when House Party, the app, came into my my world, our world, yeah, but I was reluctant because, you know, I know myself. Like I love games and I'm very social and I'm very competitive. So here's a platform where you can do all those things with all your friends. I did that for a lot of time and it was really nice because it got me out of the kind of thought process of over obsessing and worrying about so many different things as the adjustment first started happening. And now I think I mentioned to you, I just really feel grateful to be able to connect with friends and just talk about things that have nothing to do with coronavirus, with those friends who can make you lose sense of time and place and you just, you know, erupting in laughter and you forget how serious, you know, the situation is.
Cool. Thank you, Ahmed, so much for taking the time to speak with me today for Outright TV. And very nice to talk to you. And
I know that you do a lot of things, not beyond being a coordinator, a lot of events and different things for Outright TV. And I think this is the time for us all to maybe rethink how we can connect in person after this, around the things we care about.
Yeah, I can't wait. And
for all people.
Yeah, I can't wait for all of this to finish. So
I know.
We do new stuff.
Yeah, I hope so.
This was Naziha Saeed, and I spoke to Ahmed Shahabuddin. My colleagues and I will be back soon with more stories. Thank you.